And Israel has escalated its operation in Iran, bombing the national broadcaster during a live bulletin. The attack targeted vital assets deep inside Iran, including an airbase of 2,300 kilometers from Israeli border. Dramatic visuals have emerged online showing a missile strike hitting the compound of the Iran state TV studio. The anchor, Seher Imami, who was midway through the bulletin, had to get up and leave as the entire studio shook with the impact of this missile. And as chants can be heard in the background as she manages to escape. Local reports in Tehran are suggesting that Ms. Imami and the staff at the studio are safe and they are injury-free. Although NDTV cannot really independently verify these claims, but there are claims that she may have even resumed her duty to report the incidents arising out of this conflict. Israel has said that it is well on track to achieve its objectives as the conflict escalates and civilians in both countries run for cover. Dramatic visuals there, which have emerged online, which shows the anchor, Seher Imami. Actually, she was midway during her broadcast when that impact really happened. And as tensions escalate between Israel and Iran, Indian students are desperate to return, with many asking the government to arrange their safe evacuation before things take a turn for the worse. The Indian embassy in Tehran are relocating them to safer areas. In fact, there are 6,000 Indian students in Iran. Most of them are enrolled in medical universities, and Indian students are across Iranian cities such as Tehran, Shiraz, Qom, and they are going through sleepless nights. We will be joined by one such student in just a bit. In fact, Kashif Mukhtar is joining us. He's joining us from Tehran. But before that, let's listen in to all the sound bites of these students which have come in.
Third year medical student from Tehran. Right now, we are getting relocated to Tehran outskirts. Just because the strikes are continuously going on, the strikes from Israel. As you see the smokes around, the flames around, it's all chaos here. The roads are closed.
At this point, हमारे जो भाई हैं तेहरान यूनिवर्सिटी के जो स्टूडेंट्स हैं उनकी बॉयज डॉर्म के नजदीक ही हमला हुआ है एंड दे हैव ऑल्सो बीन अफेक्टेड बाय द अटैक और कुछ जो स्टूडेंट्स हैं वो जख्मी भी हो गए हैं सो वो हालत हमारी भी ना हो जाए उससे पहले प्लीज हमें इवैक्यूएट कर दिया जाए क्योंकि इस पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम पे ना हमें वाटर सप्लाई है डॉर्म की ना नेट इंटरनेट इज वेरी वीक इंटरनेट बिल्कुल भी नहीं चल रहा है ना मैसेज जा रही है ना आ रही है ना प्रॉपरली कम्युनिकेट कर पा रहे हैं हम किसी से भी और ऑन टॉप ऑफ दैट अभी शायद इलेक्ट्रिसिटी भी चली जाएगी और उसके बाद हमारा वाईफाई भी डाउन हो जाएगा जिसपे हम अभी थोड़ा बहुत इंटरनेट चला रहे हैं और उसके बाद हम शायद बिल्कुल भी कम्युनिकेट ना कर पाए तो प्लीज प्लीज आई रिक्वेस्ट एलजी मनोज सिन्हा एनसीएम उमर अब्दुल्ला कि हमें जल्द से जल्द इवैक्यूएट कर दिया जाए
प्रोफेसर एलेक्स इज द डायरेक्टर ऑफ ईरान प्रोग्राम एट द मिडल ईस्ट इंस्टीट्यूट He's joining me from Washington, D.C. We also have Dr. Jahangir. He is the director and professor center for Israel studies at O.P. Jindal Global University. Professor Alex, the question is, Israel says that they are on track to achieving its objectives. What really is the end game here?
Well, that's the biggest of all the questions out there. Is Israel trying to hit Iran through these various military operations, assassinations, as a way of bringing Iran back to the diplomatic table where Trump and the Iranians left off and ask or basically compel the Iranians to give away more, if you will, in terms of their nuclear program, which had been a demand of the Israelis. Is that what Israel wants, or has Israel changed its mind? Has Israel decided that the end goal, the end mission, has to be now a political change, the end of the Islamic Republic, toppling of the regime of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei? It's not very clear if that's the Israeli position, but increasingly in the last day or so, what Prime Minister Netanyahu is talking about sounds more like he wants regime change, But that, if that's the case, will President Donald Trump want to go along with him on that mission? Because U.S. has a long history of trying regime change in the Middle East in the last two decades plus and hasn't always worked out so well. So that remains to be seen.
All right, Dr. Jahangir, in terms of evacuation of the Indian students as the conflict escalates and clearly civilians in both the countries are running for cover, you know, the challenge of evacuating Indian students, what do you see are the challenges there?
Only today, the Transport Ministry of Israel has announced that they will soon arrange, evacuation for any group of people out of Israel. So it will have to be a government-arranged transport that the Israeli government has announced. And in next 22 hours, they are going to really give the details. My own students from Sonipat, from OP Jindal Global University, are at Tel Aviv University. I'm in Tel Aviv city. And yeah, we are anxious, but let me also say something which is usual in Israeli case. Israel's war, in a way, it started on October 7th, 2023. So many of the, aspects of the Israeli lives are actually, as usual. I mean, people go to the bunkers. I think unlike Iranian people, Israelis do have a much greater air defense system and alertness given by the government. So now the usual time to run to a shelter here is 3 to 10 minutes. Which is an ample amount of time. In the last three nights, there have been more than, let's say, 200 missiles launched, and around 20 hit the ground. And 24 people have died in different parts of Tel Aviv, Haifa, and the other central cities of Israel. But because of the good amount of sheltering, because of the very, very reliable and alert system, I see less and less panic for people to leave the place. Everything fundamental is running. Supermarkets are open. Even buses are open. I was surprised today, but I could actually go from one part of the city to the other part taking a bus. And unusually, none of the missile attacks that Iran has attempted happened in the daytime. So it's only in the night. Yesterday night, there were two. A day before, at the night, there were another two episodes. So in the day, people really carry out many different regular jobs, which is surprising to watch around. But yeah, I think Israelis have lived through these bunker and shelter runs for the last 2 years. I must say this, that unlike the rockets of Hamas, which are country-assembled and not missiles, the Iranian missiles are really causing large-scale destruction in the cities. In fact, in Bat Yam, a city just next to Tel Aviv, a building was hit yesterday, and almost for 24 hours, Israeli authorities couldn't really retrieve the bodies of the people from the rubble. Hmm. Now, such attacks are extremely scary for the Israelis because they never imagined a missile causing such a large-scale neighborhood destruction that an area of around 100 houses will be completely impacted. So I think that's one scary part, and Israeli government is really trying to...
And Iran's foreign minister, Professor Alex, had in fact taken to Twitter, and on X he said that if President Trump is genuine about diplomacy and interested in stopping this war, next steps are consequential. So, you know, there is an effort being made here. The Iranians are seeking diplomatic solution, but are the Israelis really ready to halt this aggression?
Look, absolutely right. So that's what we heard from various Iranian officials, including Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, as you just pointed out. So clearly what Iran wants is a way to sort of save face to the extent that's possible at this point because they've been badly hurt. And as we speak, Israeli attacks are continuing across Iran. But the officials, those of them who have not been assassinated and still running that country, are asking the Europeans, the Americans, through mediation and through public diplomacy, that, you know, if you get the Israelis to back off, to stop their strikes, we'll stop our missile strikes on Israel. So that's the position of the Iranians. But if you're Israel at this point, do you sense that you can go all the way, that you can topple the regime? Do you want to live with this Iran, even if there's a ceasefire? Can you trust the future intentions of this Islamic Republic? So that's really the big question mark going forward. And the Israelis, obviously, the biggest of their challenges is the following. They have never engaged an adversary the size of Iran, really, in their history, since Israel was created in 1948. They have to ask themselves the questions, how long can they continue these operations against Iran? Maybe they can do it for days, maybe weeks, but can they do it for months, years? And where would the United States be? Will the U.S. side with them? I mean, that's a great unknown. So at this point, it's really difficult to predict where we're going to go, but clearly the diplomatic path is there. But if I was Iran, I would also look to negotiate with President Trump directly, because the time is of an essence. The past few months of indirect negotiations through Oman, that's not the best way forward. You need to talk to the president himself. You need to reassure him that you mean business, that you're willing to cut a deal diplomatically. But most importantly, that Iran is willing to give up its overall anti-American and anti-Israel foreign policy. If that's what the regime is willing to do, they might just be able to save their regime. But that's a big question mark.
All right. Dr. Jahangir, a word on the visuals that we are playing on our television screens right now, and I'll ask the producer to do that. Yes, you can see. That's the Iran State TV studio anchor, Seher Imami, who was midway through her bulletin when that studio was actually bombed.
Well, this is the the aggression part of the Israeli side. Israel's defense minister and many of the Israeli leaders have been threatening Tehran with far more wide range of attacks on different institutions of Tehran if Iran doesn't stop attacking the Israeli civilian cities. So this attack on the studio came out because for the 3 nights, most of the missiles that Iran could get to the Israeli grounds, hit the civilian areas. And Israeli government is very scared because more than 1,000 people are homeless, more than 300 people are injured, 24 people died, and that count is still a modest in general terms, but for Israelis, that death count can really go up, and then the government will have a much greater domestic constraint to continue with the aggression. So they really want to utilize this threat technique by bombing the studio, by even Donald, even they leaked the information that, they had on their list everybody of Iran for the last 3 days, and they could really assassinate a chain of people. And it was supposedly a conversation that Donald Trump vetoed when the mention of the Khomeini came. Now, it would be a nutcase for anybody to attempt that sort of a political assassination in Tehran. But Israelis are playing a real psychological game as well. And one of the ways the TV studio was critical also, because this is the source of information for the most of the Iranian people. Whatever information the government gives in a very controlled society, this studio plays a key role for the government propaganda as well as the government's appearance to be in control of the situation. What will happen to the people if this system of information collapses? So Israel really wants to create this domestic chaos between the regime and the people and break the existing communication. One of the things that is happening in Tehran is that they have put up these pickets to monitor the movements of the people, A, because there are a lot of Mossad operatives in Tehran, but also because, as other guests said, there is a real fear of intention of regime change in Tehran. Mm-hmm. And they don't want any group of Iranians to really get tempted and get any kind of armed or a group mobility under the nose of, Khomeini.
Dr. Jahangir, we are yet to see several chapters, perhaps, in this ongoing conflict, which is only escalating with every passing hour. Dr. Jahangir and Professor Alex, appreciate your time. That's all from me on this edition of Left, Right and Center. Thanks so much for watching.